is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Claudia Rosetta, the Independent Women's Forum, and an adjunct fellow at the Hudson Institute, to recall June 4th, 1989. Claudia, a reporter for the Wall Street Journal, is in Beijing during the events that we now remember as Tiananmen Square. She will also take us to the summer of 2019, before the pandemic, in Hong Kong, remembering the event June 4th, 1989. Claudia, for younger people or for people who have been under the pall of the pandemic this last year, let us do some fundamentals. What happened in Tiananmen Square, June 4th, 1989, that for 30 years and more, the people of Hong Kong remembered on that day? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. What happened on June 4th, 1989 was one of the most monumental events of the last century. It was as the Cold War with the Soviet Union was heading towards its end. In China, the world's most populous communist state, where under communist rule, tens of millions had died in under horrible, ruinous policies, there was an uprising. It was centered in Beijing, in Tiananmen Square, but it happened in many places around China as well. And people came from around China to Tiananmen at the heart of Beijing. And they demanded of their government effectively democratic rights. They wanted accountable government. They wanted free speech. They wanted to be able to choose their leaders. And there were these huge demonstrations, went on for some weeks. China's Communist Party declared martial law. And then on June 4th, 1989, in the early hours, just after midnight, they rolled armored personnel carriers and marched troops with guns into Tiananmen, shooting as they came down the streets toward the square, killing people as they made their way in, surrounded the square, and then just before dawn, drove everyone out. Again, shooting. They were shooting all night. I was there. I felt I had covered the protests. I had to see how this would play out. And people certainly did die in that square. Probably more died on the roads coming in. We still don't have a total from the Chinese government. They have never given us a reliable figure. But even along with the terrible carnage of that event, which we now call the Tiananmen Massacre, was a deeper tragedy. Okay, that's not minimizing the carnage was terrible. But it was also that the Communist Party of China shut down this huge movement for greater freedom in China, for moving China in the direction of the genuinely developed modern world to become a free country. They stopped that. And then what followed was the economic rise of China, but in this convoluted, contorted system where they stripped people of their liberties, where they basically starved the souls of 1.4 billion people in China because everything belongs to the party. The party controls everything. And that inflection point was, I think, the People's Republic of China's finest hour, in that the people demanded their real rights, and also one of its most terrible hours, in that the government responded by killing and arresting enough of them so that they stopped it.
For 30 years, the people of Hong Kong remembered June 4th, 1989, and you were there in the summer of 2019. During a period in which there were frequent demonstrations, democracy is necessary, and you promised, the Beijing promised us and the British when they departed that there would be one state but two governances. You were there in the summer of 2019. Those are now critical events because some people are being charged with sedition, or the allegations are trading in some fashion with foreign powers for the events of summer of 2019. What was in the minds of the people of Hong Kong remembering Tiananmen? How did they express it?
They expressed it in many ways, but especially on the anniversary every year of June 4th, they would go to this big park near the shopping district near the harbor, and they would light candles. They would hold a candlelight vigil to mourn for the people who died for freedom in Tiananmen. And this was vital. It was profoundly moving because this was the only place under China's flag where people were free to remember, to commemorate, to hold a vigil. Inside China, mainland China itself, the Communist Party set about obliterating all memory of the truth of Tiananmen. It was reduced in their propaganda to an unpleasant turmoil sparked by terrorists and thugs, which simply had to be put down. And in fact, this year, China's propaganda, one of their mouthpieces, the Global Times, was saying, oh, it was wonderful. It inoculated China against these misled policies. Those would be, you know, self-government, things like that, people having their right to speak freely. And in Hong Kong was this one amazing enclave of freedom under China's flag, because when the British handed it over, China promised 50 years of accustomed rights and freedoms, high degree of autonomy. All that China has now taken away over the past, what began soon after the 1997 handover, but it gathered speed wholesale with 2019. And in Hong Kong, people protested in what I think was the most eloquent call for freedom we have heard in the 21st century. It's a mature free society there, and they understand very well the importance of free speech, freedom of assembly, all these things that are just vital to a free society. That's what they were asking for. That's what they've been promised. China has taken that all away in the name of, quote, national security. And the thing that finally sums it up, this year, last year, China refused to approve an assembly in Victoria Park to commemorate Tiananmen. So for the first time, there was going to be no vigil. People went anyway and lit candles. Some of them were prosecuted for it. Some of them are now serving time in prison for it. And Joshua Wong, one of the very well-known democracy advocates, got a 10-month sentence for taking part in that vigil. This year, the authorities of Hong Kong and China, which are really the same now, closed the park and threatened that anyone who tried to go in there and take part in an illegal assembly to hold a vigil could be put in prison for years. So what we have now is where there was this great, really moving and important gathering of people commemorating a movement for freedom, celebrating one of the most important things in life. Instead, now we had this year on June 4th, an empty park surrounded by cordons of police, overlooked by the new state security office that China set up there last year in a high rise by the park. And Hong Kongers are brave people. They really do value freedom. They still came to the perimeter. They came and held up lit cell phones. They chanted slogans in the street. They were threatened. There were arrests. And there was no more vigil in Victoria Park. It stands now, I think, as a symbol of the way that China is, while touting the material progress that it has delivered in some measure to its people, actually hasn't delivered, it has allowed them to achieve after years of stopping them, how it destroys the soul of human beings, how this park once filled with humanity is now an empty place surrounded by state security. That sums up the government of China. That's what we're all facing when they say they want to leave the world order. It would be a gruesome and terrible thing.
30 years ago in Tiananmen Square, 32 years later, an empty park in Hong Kong. Between those two dates so far, are a lot of mysteries to be solved about the Chinese Communist Party in Beijing and the ambitions of its leadership. It is not something to trust until those questions are answered. Claudia Rosette at the Independent Women's Forum, remembering June 4th, 1989, remembering the summer of 2019, how long until Victoria Park is filled again? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.